And there you go. Good morning, all. Happy Pentecost.
You.
Maybe this is not a good thing to say, but I don't actually like religion. Religion is all about trying to reach up to God with the clean and successful lives. And as my American friend Tina, who, well, she's Indian American, but I'll refer, will be referring to her later, says, good luck with that. By massive contrast, Christianity is all about God reaching down, reaching out to fragile and flawed people like me, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. So I say, come, Holy Spirit, happy Pentecost. Now, views on the Spirit may sometimes seem to exemplify our differences rather than the glue that binds us together. Yet I firmly believe this is the exact opposite of what the Spirit should mean to us. In advance, let me advise you, I will be referring to the Holy Spirit as she. God is neither masculine nor feminine. God is God, way beyond us, beyond our comprehension. But God shows himself in our world. He comes down to us through the life of his Son and through the Holy Spirit who lives with us. So I will start with an introduction, look at the Spirit in the Bible. I will look at what the Spirit meant for Peter. And finally, I will see what this she, the Holy Spirit, can mean for us. My conclusion will be that we are sent out to share the good news with others, with a communication that is barrier breaking, a message of love and hope, redemption and grace, with the Spirit as our guide and unity and fellowship as a consequence. So join me in prayer. Let us pray. Lord of power, just as the outpouring of your Holy Spirit on Pentecost so drastically changed the lives of the disciples, may the burning fire of your Holy Spirit refine and renew us so that we will never be the same. May we move in the power of the Spirit, and may our lives and ministries be infused with your divine supernatural touch. May your Spirit of hope, wisdom, love, and revelation cause us to ever grow in our knowledge of you. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. So we are looking at the book of Acts. And in Acts, we are starting out on an adventure. The travels of the apostles, of Paul, the beginning of the early church. The author of Acts is Luke, like the same guy who authored the Gospel of Luke. And he is again writing to Theophilus. Now, we do not know exactly who Theophilus was. There's different theories. Most probably, he was a Sadducee priest. What I like, the theory I like personally, is that he may have been Paul's lawyer when Paul was in prison in Rome. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke talks about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And now in chapter 1 of Acts, he looked at the ascension of Jesus, and we've come to chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, the early church did not invent Pentecost or Whitsun, as our American friends will have it. It was, in fact, a Jewish festival. It was celebrated 50 days, seven Sabbaths and a day, after Passover. It was a celebration of the wheat harvest and the commemoration of when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Pentecost was therefore for the Israelites a national holiday where everyone was invited, including Levites, servants, sons and daughters, the fatherless, widows, and even strangers, Deuteronomy 16 verses 9 to 12 tells us. So it was a party. And for us, it is all about the pouring out of the Spirit. That was, or should not have been unexpected. The disciples had been hearing about this. At the Great Commission in Matthew 26, verse 18, Jesus told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is quoted as giving this commandment. I quote, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So already here, Jesus is making clear, receiving the Spirit is not like receiving the law, and it's not about political power. The Spirit comes with freedom and power at a party time where all are invited. So come, Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the words used for the Spirit, in Hebrew it's Ruach, and in Greek it's Pneuma. And the Spirit is all over the place. She's there in the beginning, in Genesis 1 verse 2, she's hovering over the water. She's mentioned in the Psalms, like Psalm 104, verse 30. Isaiah refers to her. The prophets, Joel was quoted in the by Peter in Acts. She's there in the Gospels. We just heard the reading from John. And of course, she makes an appearance in a lot of letters of Paul, like Romans 15, 13. But she's also undercover, because Ruach and Pneuma both mean wind. So when you come across wind in the Bible, it's a good idea to keep in mind that wind may be spirit and spirit may be wind. So as for wind, can you remember a time when you were really struck by, when you really noticed wind? Not when you're biking against it and it's a minor inconvenience, because that happens a lot, but when it's been impactful, transformational. Now, some of you may know, I lived in Singapore as a child growing up. And there you could really notice it. Before a bad storm, the birds would stop singing and it would go still. There would be this heaviness to the air. And all of a sudden it would go dark and there would be a thunder and a flash of lightning and then a downpour that would be so thick you could barely see through it. And then there would be the wind. The wind that would uproot trees and would have the shutters slamming and it would be fierce. And like maybe you remember the scene from The Wizard of Oz when there were houses flying by. Well, that never happened, but that is how impactful wind can be. My friend Tina, who I mentioned before, she lives in Mumbai and they've just had a cyclone. And so she was surprised when the winds abated a little, there was an actual sink lying in her garden. And Tina is Americanized. She's from India, but very American. And she apped, "Dude, seriously, someone's sink flew out of their house. Like, that's mad." So we all made jokes on the app about everything but the kitchen sink. But later she realized this was actually her heavy sink that workers who had been renovating her kitchen had put on the balcony, and she lives on the 28th floor. Now, no one was hurt, no one was damaged, but this is wind. Wind is not just destructive, mind you, it can also be restorative. So in our passage in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel prophesies that the wind, as the breath of God, will breathe new life into dead bones, into the valley of dry bones, that is spirit. Ezekiel is envisioning a day when the Spirit of God would come through the Messiah to breathe life into that which was dead. Our moments of conversion can be moments when the Holy Spirit breathed the life of God into our souls. And conversion like that is not a one-off. It can happen over and over and may need to happen over and over. The Spirit comes to bring life. Come, Holy Spirit. So let me read today's verses of Acts again that I want to concentrate on. It's 2 verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So it sounded like a violent wind, like I've been describing. The Spirit ain't all sugar and spice. This wind filled the house. The presence of God filled the whole place. And no one is left in any doubt. The Holy Spirit came in power on Pentecost, but she came to empower at Pentecost. The Spirit came in full power to empower all who will receive her. And so what did she empower the disciples to do? To speak, to witness, to share the good news. And they did. In verse 11, it says, they were declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, exactly as Jesus commanded, to be witnesses to him. So we see that the Spirit came in power to empower these friends of Jesus to make disciples of all the nations. And now, besides all this power, there's something light and joyful about the Spirit, birdsong, perhaps in a forest, breath and dry bones, flames dancing overhead. When the Spirit has arrived and speaks, it is a recognition of what is, there may be a conviction of what we do, but it also shows us how it can be, how we can be, who we can be, serving the coming of God's kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit. So let's look at Peter. What did it mean for him? Because he's the first one to put this power into practice. And the Peter we read about in Acts seems different from the Peter of the Gospels. Now, Peter has always spoken out. Remember, he even tried to tell Jesus he was wrong. And he was there offering to build shelters at the Transfiguration. And he was not afraid to step out, even out of a boat onto waves. He never lacked in courage. He never lacked in love. And regardless, he did deny Jesus 3 times. So what we see is the Holy Spirit refining and honing his good qualities and paring away the bad. The courage to step out in faith remained. But the words spoken are no longer impetuous or without thought. Rather now he speaks cogent, considered, wise. Yet he was still Peter. The Holy Spirit had not destroyed his essential self and replaced it with something new and alien. His basic personality remained the same, but he'd been refined and strengthened so that he became closer to who he himself was called to be. He came into his own. He became the best version of himself. So that is part of what the Spirit does. There's another notable aspect of the Spirit's empowering. Peter and the disciples spoke in different languages or tongues. The Spirit brought people together and then miraculously allowed the disciples to communicate to people in their own tongue. And we do not know how this communication worked, whether the words when they left the disciples' mouth were already in a different language, or when the words coming into people's ears were in a different language, or whether it was just all otherworldly language altogether. We do not know, but what we know, what is vital, is that people heard the gospel in a way they could understand. And of course, this brings to mind the story of Bible in the Old Testament, Genesis 11. A man in his arrogance and sin thought he could build a tower all the way up to heaven, which is religion. We can reach out to God. And the lack of understanding that God is not physical, cannot be reached by physical means, is only compounded by the arrogance of the human race in Babel. So God confused the languages of humans at Babel, which resulted in the separation of nations. And now at Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit means the nations are brought back in together again, as each person can understand the message of the gospel in his or her own language. So the lesson is clear. The Holy Spirit comes to unite people from all nations under the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Although we also already see that this can cause bewilderment and mocking the drunk. The freedom the Spirit offers is true freedom. So one can also say no to this power. And still the Spirit will bring people in, and still we will be sent out to the nations. And how blessed are we, by the way, to live in Amsterdam, where there are 189 nations represented right here on our doorstep. We can reach all nations simply by living our Christ-centered lives here in Amsterdam. Come, Holy Spirit. Peter is enabled to preach because he has been empowered by the Spirit. And he and his friends had been given the ability to communicate the gospel to people in their own language. And the result we see in verse 41 of this chapter in Acts, 3,000 people accepting the good news. Now, what does that mean for us today? How is Pentecost relevant? Does the Holy Spirit impact us at this time? Well, let me start off by confirming the Spirit is here. She is here for us. She is here with us. Even today, people may also reject the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people are like, I don't want to be happy clappy. But by not embracing this gift that God wants to give to us, we are missing out on a wonderful gift that is sent to invigorate our lives and our ministry. So yes, the Holy Spirit can be a little intimidating or perhaps even alienating in her power, but the power of the Holy Spirit is more than an emotional form of worship. It is the power given to the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Pentecost is when the empowered church is sent out to the world, as we are sent out today. Come, Holy Spirit. So there is a twofold focus, one being sent out and two communicating the good news. And now where some of us, most of us, may not be actually sent out to another nation, we are called to share the good news with our neighbors, friends, and colleagues. We are sent out. We're not meant to keep this wonderful news to ourselves. But then the second point of communication, what do we say? We beat the people over the head with the gospel? I mean, what? In Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So no beating people over the heads with anything. It is about meeting people where they are at, listening to what their needs are, then praying, asking the Spirit to come in to show us what to say, when, how. Remember the past few sermons that were preached on the vine and the branches? We bear fruit, the Spirit's fruit, because we are rooted in Christ. Fruit grows out of a living process. We may trust to be inspired and led if we listen, if we read our Bibles, if we invest in our relationship with the living God who comes down to us. The goal is fellowship with those we share this message with, and ultimately that they too may believe. Come, Holy Spirit. I feel it is important that when there seem to be issues in our communication, and this goes even within our church sometimes perhaps, we should not forget that communication is never neutral. We usually mean what we say, but there is a reason for the words we choose and the timing at which we say them. And we should be critical of ourselves, always asking, in what way am I showing the fruits of the Spirit in this conversation? Am I loving? Am I forbearing? Am I kind? Even our interpretation of facts is never without bias. Our emotion, our history, our experiences, even our culture influences what we say, but also what we hear. As George Bernard Shaw said, England and America are two countries separated by a common language. And anyone who's seen the confusion between the English and American people when it comes to pants, trousers, undergarments, knows the confusion is real. So if we know this, if we know that communication is not neutral, is influenced, then we understand why having the power of the Spirit lead our communication is so vital. And our role, what we can and must and should always do, is to concentrate on how we say things. 1 Corinthians 13 starts off in verse 1 with, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. The French say, c'est la ton qui fait la musique. It's the tone that makes the music. It's another example, we had the intercessory prayer meeting last Tuesday. There's two more meetings to go. You are invited. The intercessory prayer meeting, Mary gave the example of speaking with power. When do you speak with power? Well, when your two-year-old is about to stick their fingers into the electricity socket in the wall, you don't go, oh, sweetie, listen, I don't think that's a good idea. Do you think you could consider not putting your fingers there? You don't. You go, no. Do not put your fingers in a socket. And as a result, you will probably be comforting a crying two-year-old for the next 5 minutes. All good, you have spoken with power. It is important to know what message you are trying to get across. Our message is love. Spirit-filled communication unites. It does not alienate. It does not show people the door. It brings people in. And we must recognize our own empowered role in this. And also that by our being, without words maybe, but simply by displaying the fruits of the Spirit, we are already starting to communicate the message. How we want to be understood is that we communicate the good news with love, using words the other can understand, meeting the other in the situation they are at. Communication is cyclical, defined by the people communicating. And unfortunately, there is no one size fits all. But thank God, there is one Spirit, and she fills all. So come, Holy Spirit. In conclusion, Pentecost happened. The Spirit filled the house. She swooped down. Undeniable, all powerful, and she lit people up. She made them who they were. She gave them the gift of communication. The good news is by us all, for us all. And the Acts of the Apostles is still being written by us. When the Spirit speaks, it is a recognition of what is, who we are, who we can be, serving the coming of God's kingdom. We are sent out to share the good news with others, with communication that is barrier-breaking, a message of love and hope, redemption and grace, with the Spirit as guide and unity and fellowship as a consequence. Because this, dear brothers and sisters, this is what we say in our closing blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all evermore. So we thank God for his love, for sending his Son, sending his Spirit, and let us truly celebrate Pentecost, the great sending out in the power of the Spirit. Let us all embrace the gifts that the Spirit has for each one of us, trusting that she will empower us not only to be our best selves, but also to put into practice the sharing of the good news, the caring that we are all called to do. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Corina, for this beautiful sermon. And let's just answer the words.